Jeannie Dawson Burris is a wife, mother of one daughter, and a GG to three grandchildren. She's been employed by Clemson University for over 20 years. She has a passion for serving God as a community relations coordinator and radio personality at Spirit Radio in Anderson, South Carolina. So please listen to her show. It's called Just Jeannie. And also, Jeannie is a 10-year breast cancer survivor. So please help me welcome Miss Jeannie Dawson Burris.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I give honor to God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is my healer, my deliverer. God did it for me. Amen. To the leaders and church family of this house, the house of Judah, what a welcoming spirit. When I walked in the door, everything was just setting on. I was like, thank you, God, just what I needed. I appreciate it. And I thank you for the opportunity to share the goodness of God. Thank you to my longtime friend, Sister Deneen Wright, for inviting me to share what God can do, what he will do, and also what he is able to do. And for that, I give him praise. And I'd like to say, shout out to all survivors, not just breast cancer survivors, but anyone who has survived something. But I would like to absolutely honor you as well. But I would like to recognize any breast cancer survivors here today other than myself. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Now, since it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I praise God for each and every one of you. Ain't God good? He's good, isn't he? My name is Jeannie. I am confident. I am bold. I am a courageous cancer survivor, and I'm proud of it. Not just because I got through it, but because I trusted God through it. So right now, I'm going to go ahead and share a few breast cancer awareness things that you may or you may not know. Breast cancer is the second most common kind of cancer in women. About 1 in 8 women born today in the United States will get breast cancer at some point. The good news is that many women can survive breast cancer. To raise awareness about the importance of early detection of breast cancer, let's make a difference, y'all. Let's spread the word about mammograms and encourage community, organizations, families, and individuals to get involved. Now, the warning signs of breast cancer are not the same for all women or men. Self-examination and mammograms is the first step. Nobody knows your body better than you, okay? Anything that don't look normal is worth a second opinion. Now, as for me, there was no pain. As I look back, before I was diagnosed with breast cancer, I did notice that one breast was a little bigger than the other, but I've always heard one breast is supposed to be bigger than the other. It's amazing what you hear. Some of you may have heard that too, and so I thought no more of it, although that may or may not be true. I don't know. I don't think it was for me. Now, there are different kinds of breast cancer, but the most common types of cancer I would like to share with you is invasive and metastatic breast cancer. Now, an invasive breast cancer occurs when cancer cells from inside the milk ducts break out into nearby breast tissue. Now, cancer cells can travel from the breast to other parts of the body through the bloodstream or the lymphatic system. They may travel early in the process when a tumor is small or later when a tumor is larger. Now, the metastatic breast cancer is invasive breast cancer that has spread beyond the breast lymph nodes to other organs in the body, most often the bones, the lungs, liver, or brain. Now, this type of cancer is not a specific type of breast cancer, but rather than the most advanced stage of cancer. So allow me to share with you real quick before I go any further. Later, you'll understand why I share what I'm about to share with you, all right? Bear with me. Now, early in my walk with the Lord, I worked with an atheist. You know, most of you know what an atheist is, someone who don't believe in God. he would always mock God at work, and which it just made me so upset. I just didn't appreciate that, and I let him know. He would say things like, how you know God exists? Prove it. I couldn't prove it. I don't think I can tell him what the Word of God says. So I decided not to argue with him, anyone else who didn't believe. So one night I had a talk with God. I said, God, you know, it kept bothering me because I so wanted to prove it to him. But I said, God, I want to ask you something for the first time. This is what I asked God something. I say, if you don't mind, can you show me some sign that you're real? Am I the only one that's got a question like that? Maybe so, but I did. This was in my early walk with the Lord. You know, that's when I fear. Now, if I had named this my speech, it would be from fear to faith. But right now, I had a little fear in me during that time. Please show me some sign that you're real. No sign came. It was just silence. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit just, you know, dealing with me. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? So fast forward. Listen, I know I'm here to share about breast cancer journey, and I am. But first, let me allow you to share about another journey that I had a few years before my diagnosis. This happened probably, I'd say, about 2 years after me and the atheist had that conversation, and I spoke with God. Now, a few years before my cancer diagnosis, and I had a near-death experience, which I hadn't shared with a whole lot of people because out of fear nobody would believe what I had experienced, what I know for a fact happened. But I had I started hurting real bad pain and losing a lot of blood. Didn't know what was happening at the time, but I was going through a miscarriage and didn't know it. I was home alone. My husband was at work. And I didn't want to bounce. He'll be off in a few hours. I just try to take the pain. But the pain got so unbearable. And I'm just hurting so, so bad. I mean, I never felt that type of pain before in my life. And I had gotten so weak, so I made my way to lay down in the bed. And I said, God, God, please help me, God, God. I just called out to God with all my might. I just come, please help me, help me. This pain is unbearable. And it was like immediately I had an out-of-body experience. Have anybody ever experienced an out-of-body experience? I know you probably, most of you may have heard it. Okay. It was like my inner body just swooshed up. Immediately there was no pain. I didn't feel any pain. It was like my body was still here. I'm here. I can recall seeing people. As I look back, I didn't physically see people. It was like more like spirits, I'm assuming. On my right, spirits on my left. But my focus was on what was straight ahead of me. It was like a light. It's so indescribable. It was so beautiful. I just wanted to go to that light. And I can remember voices saying, well, you can't go, you can't go, you can't go there. But I was still focused trying to get up there to that light because it was something so, I wasn't feeling no pain, no pain. It was just peace. It was just beautiful. And I wanted to go there. And I kept on trying to get up in there. And for some reason, I kept saying, but I want to go to Jerusalem. I want to go to Jerusalem. And about time, like as I got closer, I heard a voice say from the light, it said, go back. I said, but I want to go to Jerusalem. It said, and the second time, the voice was so strong, y'all. It was so, I never forget it. I said, go back. Your time has not came yet. And immediately, I was back in my bed, in my body. And by that time, the pain had got, it was just worse. It was so worse. And I remember calling my husband, hey, can you come home and take me to the ER? I'm sick. I don't know what's going on. So he came and he got me to the ER. By the time I got there, they had to carry me in a wheelchair. I guess I completely had passed out. And after they did the medical procedure and all, I never forget, this nurse looked at me. She said, you almost died. You came so close to dying. You almost died. And I thought to myself, I just looked at her. I shook my head. I didn't say a word. And I thought to myself, woman, I did die. I did die. And immediately, that's when I remember, and I remember the encounter I had. Previous, I had. As time went on, I shared with my husband. I shared with one other person. I guess my husband just like, I don't know if it scared him. He was fearful. He couldn't handle what I was saying. So I kept it to myself. So I never shared it. I shared it with one other person. And I just said, I just keep this to myself because I don't want to scare nobody away. I don't want nobody to think I'm crazy. But I know that testimony was for me. But, you know, every day I think about the encounter and I ask God, what does it mean? I couldn't understand why I kept saying, I want to go to Jerusalem. Why would I be saying that? I don't know. Now, remind you, at the time, I was early in my walk with the Lord. I didn't understand a lot of that time because I didn't have a relationship with him like I should have. I wasn't reading his word like I should have. I wasn't praying like I should have. So, you know, had I been doing that, that would have made more sense. So one day, whatever the reason, I opened up the Bible, and it took me to a chapter I never read before. I'll never forget this day. And the chapter was Revelation chapter 21. You know, in that chapter, some of you may be familiar with it. It talked about the New Jerusalem, the holy city, which is heaven. And, you know, for years I couldn't understand about that Jerusalem. Can you imagine what I felt when I read that chapter? Can you imagine what God, I thought I was going to get up and run out the room praising God. I'm like, family, I understand now. I understand now. God is amazing. It was just so clear to me. Then I realized God had given me another chance to get it right with him. Another chance to find my purpose. So I started seeking him more and more. At the time, not knowing exactly what my purpose was, I do know we all are here to worship him. I know that. And then find ways to reach as many people as possible to tell about the goodness of God. So after I... I'm going to get back to the cancer now. So like many of you, I grew up addressing the cancer as a C word, believing that if you are diagnosed with cancer, that it's over. No one wanted to talk about the word cancer. I never really took breast cancer serious enough. I always thought, why should I be concerned about breast cancer? No one in my family had breast cancer. I had six sisters, mother, aunts, nobody has been diagnosed with breast cancer. So, you know, I wasn't really all that concerned. So I did start getting mammograms recommended by my supervisor. She said, hey, you're 40 years old. You need to start getting some mammograms. So I started getting them. So I decided to, and everything was fine. No problem. So I decided to skip a year. Hey, everything fine. I'm okay. And you know what? The very year I skipped, I said, I just start going every 2 years. And when I did go back, that's when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Okay, I would diagnose it. They said, hey, we see signs of breast cancer. You need to do we're going to do a biopsy. And, of course, that came back positive. And then when I met with the doctors and stuff, me and my husband, they said, you know, the type of breast cancer you have is very aggressive. I said, but, doctor, I feel fine. I feel fine. I really, really do. He said, I understand that. And my husband said, doctor, tell us what we need to do. Am I going to have my wife here? What? He was just so, you know how men is. They can't have some men is. They kind of take things like the women. The doctor said, well, listen, if you don't do anything by this time next year, more than likely, you won't be here. And I didn't understand it. You're feeling fine. But what they were saying is by the time the cells start spreading and start attacking your organs and stuff, very fast. So the type I had was very aggressive. So within the next, I was just kind of getting like, well, you know what? This whole world is bad anyway, and why would I want to hang around here? I want to go. And I heard somebody say, listen, remember, you are here for a purpose. It's not about you no more. You are here, and so God can use you in some type of way to bring others to him. So I got it after that. But and so, I went through surgery, and the doctor said, well, perhaps if you do surgery, you might not even need chemo or radiation. I said, okay, let's go do surgery and get all that. But when they went in, they found out that it was worse than, you know, what they was thinking. So I did end up having rounds and rounds of chemo and also radiation. And if you can see, thank God I don't look like what I went through, because when people would see me, they'll tell me to this day, I don't know how you made it out of there like that. They felt so bad for me. They said, I look terrible. But you know what? I kept praising God through it. Because anytime you're going through something, you take your eyes off fear and put your eyes on the Lord and continue to praise and don't let the devil win. Because I remember going through chemo. I think I went like 4 days straight a week. Every week I had to go, and I'd be there for maybe 5 hours or so. But I didn't focus on what was going on. I seen people around me just giving up. I go back the next week, somebody had died. Go back the next week, somebody had died. And I would bring my laptop, I can work during chemo. I just bring my laptop. I'm not going to focus on that medicine going inside my body. Because I was trusting in God that he's going to bring me through. I just had to go through some things. And while I was going through it, you know, that brought me closer to the Lord. I'm home, and I'm very weak, couldn't steal through the medicine, all that. But I was still able to praise God. I listened to my gospel music. I listened to some good sermons. And in my heart, I was praising God. Some days, I couldn't even hardly bear to raise my hand. But you know what? I was still praising God through it all. So even when I remember approaching my 5 year of cancer survivor, the doctors would tell me I was in remission. Now, you're in remission. Oh, yeah. I know that. I hear you. But I still was believing that I was healed, because I was going through. I started, God said, now, when I get you through this, go back to do, the Holy Spirit spoke, go back and do something you always wanted to do. And I got to thinking. So I started writing. And I started writing down what I've always wanted to do, which was radio. And some asked, how you get into radio? Well, I can recall when I was around 12 years old, my mom be in the kitchen cooking breakfast, cooking dinner. And she had that radio on to gospel, listen to gospel music and everything. And I started listening too. And I never forget, I started hearing gospel singer Shirley Caesar. And you know, if you're familiar with her, she always have a message in her song. She's going to minister. And I started listening. And that's what brought me to Christ, to be honest with you. At that age, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I continued listening. I say, you know, one day I would like to be on the radio to tell others about the goodness of God. I would like to be there to be able to take part in sharing some good gospel music, testimonies, community happenings and all. So he told me write the vision, make it plain, and I did. My intention was not to own a radio station, not to run a radio station, perhaps just to have my little hour show here and there, and you know, I'm going about my business. And so God said, write the vision, made it plain. I did. So sometimes people reject you. They're thinking you want to. I'll never forget, I asked a couple of different radio stations, can I come in? Can I observe? First of all, I went back to school and got my education, because that's what God say to do. Sometimes we ask God for things and we pray about things we want God to bless with. Sometimes things we need to do ourselves. We just want to pray and sit back and want God to, like, hey, just dump everything on our lap. He wanna be able to trust us as well, that we're going to do what he wants us to do. So I did. I went back, got my degree. Although I had all these medical bills, y'all, I tell you what, I don't know how they got paid. All I know they say is paid in full. Praise God. And then I'm like, well, got these medical bills, and then school, got to pay for school, didn't have to pay a damn. Everything just worked out. I had to get out there and look for some scholarships and grants, and God made it happen. Because when God tell you to do something and he trusting you to do it, he going to make a way. It's amazing how God will put people in your path, somebody you never met before, to make things happen to give God the glory. And so I now, beginning of COVID, the owner of the station, well, it was before COVID. We had already planned in the year before COVID. They came to me, asked me how I feel about running. Because, mind you, I was on a a predominant white radio station, had my own show for 1 hour, playing some urban gospel music. But these people are so dear to me. We met, we became family, and they say, hey, and they own about 20-something different radio stations in different states. How you feel about running a 24-hour gospel urban radio station? I said, y'all run it. I can have my show on. I'd love to do that. No, we need you to run it. So I prayed about it, and then God just started so quickly making things happen. So the COVID slowed it up a little bit for us to get started. We went on and started and trusted God and started anyway. So right now, I am running Spirit Gospel Radio Station, have my own show, able to play gospel music, community happenings, have people coming in doing interviews, and God is really blessing the station where he is getting the glory. He is getting the glory out of the music, some good gospel music, testimony, preaching, teaching, and so on. Whatever he have in store, I am ready to sit back and do what he's going to do. Now, back to breast cancer. You know, I was surprised to find out ladies who are 40, 50, and 60 years old hadn't even never had a mammogram before. Now, I can understand someone who is not a Christian, who may be fearful, but a born-again believer, y'all, we need to put that fear, because, you know, I was there before. I was fearful. I guess we all go through that. So, but I just couldn't understand it. But, you know, let me share these scripture with you. 2 Timothy 1:7, which is one of my favorite scriptures. And it says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And also Isaiah 43:1 said, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. So y'all, just remember those scriptures. In closing, I know what my purpose is now during my journey. The Holy Spirit, you know, I'll tell you about the second chance that he given me and told me to write the vision and make it plain. And I did. So, you know what? Anything you're going through or been through, trust God through it. Try not to focus on fear, but focus on faith. Because, you know, when you are willing to do something that includes God, where he will get the glory, y'all, he'll make it happen for you. He will make it happen for you. He sometimes will put, like he did, people in your path that will help you get to where you need to be. People you never even met before. And I am so thankful. I am so grateful, you know, for what God is doing, continue to do in my life. So listen, especially you ladies, schedule your screening if you hadn't done it already. Don't delay. Don't be fearful. Just go ahead and do it, because you know what? It could save your life. And let me leave you with this. No matter what you are going through, it may not even be cancer. Just remember to keep the faith and trust God through it, all right? Blessings to you all. Thank you, House of Judah.